Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. Here with us again is a very special guest, Eric Gonzalez, Brooklyn District Attorney. Eric Gonzalez served as Chief Assistant District Attorney to the late DA Kenneth P. Thompson and made history in 2017 when he became New York's first Latino District Attorney. He was reelected in 2021. With more than 25 years of experience as a prosecutor, DA Gonzalez has personally tried a broad range of crimes from homicides, sex crimes, fraud, and bias-motivated violence. Prior to his election, he helped launch the Conviction Review Unit, widely recognized as a national model. As DA, he built on his work with the creation of a comprehensive first-in-nation post-conviction justice bureau. DA Gonzalez grew up in East New York and Williamsburg, Brooklyn. He's also a graduate of Cornell University and the University of Michigan Law School. He lives in Brooklyn with his wife and three sons. Welcome back to Reaching Out.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. The last time we were here, of course, it was remote also, but I believe we were talking about something that happened at one of your homes.
Yeah, unfortunately, the district attorney and his family is not immune from crime. And so there was an incident that took place in my mother's home. It was a scary incident. And, thank God for it turned out okay. And grateful to the police department for a response that kept our family safe.
Very good. And everything is okay now. Okay.
Yes.
Very good. So where do we stand on in terms of public safety in Brooklyn as we reach the end of the summer?
Well, that's the good news. The good news, and, people are starting to believe it, that Brooklyn and the city in its whole entirety is starting to move towards a safer and better place. But I'm going to talk about Brooklyn because I'm particularly proud of Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn. And, Brooklyn has really helped lead the crime reduction in New York City. And so we're down over 30%, 34% in shootings from last year. Our homicide rate is down. Our index crimes, which are the seven major felony categories, are down more than 5%. So we're having a great year in terms of crime reduction from last year. And last year was better than the year before. And but the reality in Brooklyn, and what I'm so proud of, Greg, is that Brooklyn has had its safest summer in more than 5 years, going back to pre-pandemic levels and actually beating pre-pandemic levels, because that's usually what people compare it to, before COVID and after COVID. So Brooklyn had fewer shootings this summer than ever before, lower than 18, lower than 19, which were considered to be the safest years in Brooklyn history. So I think we're on the right track. Of course, many of your listeners know, my family is not immune to gun violence. And so every one of these incidents is one too many for families. But to have a record safe summer is something that we can all be proud of, about, something we can build on. And I continue to fight the scourge of gun violence and the proliferation of guns in New York City. Every day, our office is working on prosecuting gun cases. We created a ghost gun unit because many more guns are now being produced by people using kits and 3D printings. And so we're tackling those people, working with the postal inspectors to see where the products are coming into and asking judges for search warrants to get these ghost guns. We're doing our trafficking cases with the federal government and the NYPD. And of course, we do voluntary gun surrenders, which I say does make a difference. because we know that guns in homes often are used by children. And too often today, we see a lot of suicides by, even legal guns in homes. So the combination of all of this work, getting guns off the streets and targeting, and I want to be really clear, targeting the people who we know are hurting others has really led to a safe summer.
It's very good. We're so happy. All of us and our listeners are so happy. It was a safe summer. With the school year getting underway and the immigrant children added to the enrollment, does your office have any special plans for the upcoming school year?
Well, we want to work closely with our principals and school safety officers to, understand even where the migrant children are going to be placed and what schools they're going to be at. Language capacity is going to be important. We've worked with DHS to get some of our social workers and our lawyers into some of the shelters so we can start to offer services. What we're seeing sort of at the shelter level is a lot of domestic violence. We've seen some fights between new arrivals and longer term residents and substance use, drug use. So we think there's a place for us to do, programming and services. And then just going to work very closely with the principals and school safety officers to prosecute cases as needed. We all know that as district attorney, I don't have jurisdiction of cases now of someone who's under 18 unless they're charged with a designated felony. So a lot of those cases now go to our family courts or corporation counsel, but I still have a role in keeping our community safe. And so we'll work very closely with the schools.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned some, I would say, confrontations between residents and migrants. Do you have any specific examples?
Well, just what's been publicly reported, that there have been fights around resources and things. These shelters are, they're a limited resource. And, we have longer term shelter residents who are feeling squeezed by the new arrivals. And, people are fighting for resources. Mm-hmm. It's why it's important that we, figure out, how we're going to get migrants, out of the shelter system and into other places. And, like the mayor and, most of the leadership in the city, if we're going to accept new arrivals, the federal government is going to have to allow them to work. We can't continue to pay, millions of dollars a year and, really billions of dollars over the next year and a half without the people who are arriving being able to help, cover their costs.
Sure. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Last month, Mayor Adams announced a gun violence prevention task force that outlined investments from agencies across the city. What is your opinion of this approach?
It's excellent. Applaud the mayor. It's very consistent with my thinking as district attorney. And I think, it's consistent with what we know about gun violence. Gun violence actually is most prevalent in the communities that are the poorest, the least resources, where kids and aren't thinking about going to school or getting serious jobs. They're getting involved in gang activity. That gang activity winds up in shootings often. And, this rivalry that takes place around geographic dominance from gang members. And the thought of, putting resources and in places where there are less resources and getting, therapy and cognitive behavioral change to some of these young members is important. But what I like about it is the concept that it can't just be the police. It cannot just be the local district attorneys fighting gun violence, that the entirety of government has to be responsible for doing things to reduce gun violence. I called for more mental health treatment after COVID because 75% of people under 18 have, been diagnosed with, trauma that came out of COVID. And wherever there are hurt people tend to hurt others. And so we have to make sure that we're, the entirety of government is focusing on reducing gun violence. And so there's roles for the hospitals, for ACS, for the Department of Education. There's roles for everyone to figure out how they, you know, identify people who may be prone to gun violence or be, you know, unfortunately a victim of gun violence, and then to get services towards them. And so it's a reasonable request that the mayor has made, 5% of your budget to be thinking about how you can help deter gun violence in our communities. And what I really love about it as being Brooklyn District Attorney is that the emphasis right now is going to be on East New York, which still remains the number one place of gun violence, and then Brownsville, the second number place. So that works for the people of Brooklyn. Those are the two of the poorest communities in Brooklyn. They need the resources, and we need to save lives.
Thank you. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest back again is Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez. You mentioned East New York, and there was a show on CBS, and I thought it was a pretty good show. I don't know how you felt about the show, but I looked at it. Some of it was dramatization. A lot of it was realization. What do you think about that show, East New York?
Yeah, you know, Greg, I didn't watch it, but I will tell you, I grew up in East New York, mm-hmm. and a lot of the residents in the community felt that the portrayal of community members was, you know, not right. There were some other people who thought it accurately depicted life on the streets.
Yes.
You know, what I want to say as a resident of East New York, I live there now, is that there are a lot of good people, and the sure. overwhelming majority of people are not involved in drugs or gang life or criminal activity. They're hardworking people, working class people, a lot of city workers. Who live there, who are struggling to get by. And there's, you know, a portion of that population who's out to, you know, make life difficult and hurt others. And we're going to focus on East New York and in Brownsville to make sure that people can have the quality of life they deserve, and that Brooklyn will continue to be a great place to live. And I think it's extra important, quite frankly, for people of color, because it's still one of the only places left in Brooklyn that's affordable. East New York and Brownsville are still fairly affordable. Like, we can get an apartment without paying, you know, multiple thousands of dollars a month. You know, affordability in Brooklyn is a real issue. And East New York in particular has affordable housing. We have to make sure that the community around that affordable housing is safe to raise families.
One of my mother's sisters, my aunt, lived in East New York. She lived on Bradford Street. I remember the address, 661 Bradford Street. They had a house.
I know exactly where it is.
Two family house, basement. They had the whole, they had two apartments upstairs. My uncle and cousins lived up there. And I remember going there, and they shared a driveway. I just remember that they shared a driveway, and, you know, the house to the right, the house to the left. And they used to take me to Gershwin Park, where we used to play basketball. So I remember being on Linden Boulevard playing basketball right there, Miller. And then I had a cousin that lived around the corner, I think on Miller, New Lots, Livonia, last stop on the 2 train. So I remember fond memories of growing up in Brooklyn. And
That's where I got on the train as a kid. Yeah. When I went to John Dewey High School mm-hmm. in Gravesend in Brooklyn. But my train stop in East New York was Livonia, where I caught the train out to South Brooklyn. And, you know, so we've made a lot of progress around there, but it still needs a lot more. And, you know, these opioids, you know, and the fentanyl is still killing a lot of people in East New York and Brownsville.
Yeah. And my cousin went to Thomas Jefferson High School. And I remember
sure.
he had a young man playing for the high school team. Who just got inducted to the Chicago Cubs Hall of Fame, Sean Dunstan, I remember in high school, he had the batting average, and get this, in high school, he had the batting average of 800.
Wow.
800. That was unheard of. I said 800. So he went on.
Greg, what are you at? You're a Mets or Yankee fan? Or?
I love the Mets. I like the National League. Something about the National League that just grabs me.
Well, Brooklyn Dodgers, I think, is what a lot of people think about in the National League. What happened to our teams this year?
What happened was age. One, injuries for the other. Injuries, age. The Mets didn't have a reliever. when Judge
he got hurt. He got hurt in the beginning of the year.
51 games. They couldn't sustain it. But I like going into the future. I like the fact that both teams brought up rookies, and I like the rookies that both teams have. And I think the Mets and Yankees both have a bright future. Mets need a little more pitching. I saw two good pitchers, three pitchers for the Mets. They have a lefty that pitched last night. And I think the Yankees need more pitching. But the Dominguez, I think his name is.
Yeah.
What a player. I think he and Judge would be like a good 1-2 combination. If Stanton can ever just hit the ball and not strike out, that would be just better.
Yankees need a leadoff hitter, though. Yeah. That's one of the things they desperately need. The Yankee batting averages are way too low. They need someone who can hit around 300 on the top of that lineup so they can get, you know, the players that you just mentioned driving some runs. But, you know, for a better year across the board in sports in New York City.
Yes. But, you know, in New York, what I always say is, well, baseball's over. We're on to the next season. We got football. If that doesn't work out, we have basketball and hockey. If that doesn't work out, baseball's coming back again. So we just have a rotation. But reaching our young people is crucial in preventing violence. And, you know, if a lot of young people got involved in sports, if we had some more sports teams in East New York, we could really keep the young people out of trouble. And just if we're able to bring them to a few games, that would keep them out of trouble too. What are some of your youth initiatives?
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about sports, and, you know, sports, I think, are unifiers. That's why I'm happy to see more women and young girls playing sports than when I was young. You know, I see a lot of young women playing sports, and I think that's great for women and young girls. In Brooklyn, we invest. I use money that we take away from drug dealers and, you know, forfeiture money to support teams. And so my office is supporting basketball programming, a little league. We're not doing football this year, but we're also doing dance and other competitive sports programs, soccer. There's a lot of soccer, especially with some of, you know, our Caribbean young people who like to play soccer, and it's growing. And so we're helping to pay for that. We have this, I'm sure you've heard of the Saturday Night Lights sure. program. Yeah. Brooklyn has the most locations in the city, and that was done in partnership with the Manhattan DA's office. And so, we're definitely making the investment in youth sports. We're also doing programming for young people that's academic related. We have an SAT program. We have a chess program. We're doing explorers with the NYPD. There's a number of programs that we're investing in. As an office, to make sure our kids have a safe place to go after school, to stay away from antisocial behavior like gangs. So there's a lot that we're doing. I'm really grateful to the superintendent of Brooklyn North. And, you know, there's a lot of high schools in North Brooklyn. She's been a real partner with my office, and we've been doing youth seminars and get-togethers where we're talking about, you know, really difficult issues around public safety, about relationships between young people and law enforcement, you know, in particular the NYPD, trying to engage young people to be productive citizens, let them know that we actually care about them. And like I've already said, you know, so many of our young people were in crisis around COVID. They lost family members. They went through a lot of trauma. They were separated from institutions that kept them, you know, normalized and productive. And so we need to do all of that. And this office is really kind of leading the way in partnerships. And so to any of your listeners, if you have something that you think we can help support, I'm always happy to have those conversations, because at the end of the day, I think most of us in government come into this job to make it better for the next generation. And so we have to support these young people.
Yes. We have a co-ed softball team that we've been playing for the last, 10 years. So it's always important. And let me tell you, when you put together, I got five good girls that could play, and we have to have three on the field. And the other night, the ball was hit over her head. She took one step in. You know, the classic, you take one step in, the balls go over your head.
Yeah.
She turned around, hauled herself to the spot, put up the glove, and made an unbelievable catch. I'm like, I was so amazed. I've never seen that live when I was playing in the game before, the way she tracked that ball down. And she's originally from Seattle, and she moved to New York. And I was just happy to have someone like that playing on our team. So,
is she a ringer? Is she like played college softball?
I don't think she's a ringer. She's not a ringer. She's not a ringer, but we played against some ringers. We played against John Rodriguez. They say it's J-Rod. And I looked at him and said, who's J-Rod? They said, oh, he played on the 2006 World Series champion Cardinal team. I said, what's he doing out here playing slow pitch softball with us? He could kill somebody. And that guy was hitting some shots. It was unbelievable. So,
well, you know, one of the other things that we're doing, you know, in engaging young people is we're engaging them in some restorative practices. This is voluntary. These are not court involved young people, but, you know, really trying to invest in some life skills for some of the people who come from really low income communities and people who, you know, otherwise would never be exposed, you know. And I'll speak for myself. I'm not embarrassed to say, you know, I didn't know anyone who worked in an office when I was a young person, you know. My mom worked in a sweatshop. My dad, you know, was worked as a mechanic. I had never entered a business office. And so part of the opportunities that we're trying to give to ordinary Brooklynites who may not come from, you know, upper middle class backgrounds or wealthy backgrounds is an opportunity to see, you know, something more than their block. And, you know, I'm very happy to report that, you know, our relationship here at, you know, KCDA, working with our school safety officers and other places is a very, you know, constructive one. And just look forward to continuing to engage young people because, you know, they're our future. And, you know, I still have school age children and, you know, I can see all the challenges that they face in their lives. And, you know, they come from a parent who, you know, has gone to college and, you know, went to law school. So, but I remember what it was like as a young person in Brooklyn that didn't come from that kind of background. And so these programming is very important. And so, you know, I also applaud the mayor on that because he really, him and the city council really went above what we've seen before in terms of summer youth employment. And we brought a lot of those young people into our office as well.
It's important. No one comes at anything knowing it all. You have to start somewhere. And the earlier you start, the better you're going to be.
And let me just say one last thing, because it's important. We have a high school internship program. We run it 3 times a year. We run a winter, like, you know, that winter recess time. We run a small, like, week-long program there. We have a spring break kind of internship program. Then we have our summer program, which is 8 weeks. And, you know, I should say it's open to high schoolers in New York City. And we actually pay them minimum wage. So they come, they learn, they get exposed to the criminal justice system. They meet a lot of, you know, law enforcement and others, but they also get money, which is important, especially for, you know, students who really could use that extra money. So feel free to check the Brooklyn DA's website for how your child can apply.
That's very important. I was going to ask you a question, but I see we got the sign. Our time is up. And I got to say, I enjoyed this conversation. Anytime you want to come back, you're welcome. You don't have to wait for an invitation. You say, hey, look, call up and say, Greg, I have something I'd like to discuss. We'll make the time for you. We'll make the space for you. So you're welcome on the show anytime.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. You know, maybe next time I'll talk a little bit about the work that this office is doing to protect women around gender-based violence issues.
Yes.
Because we have a new initiative in Brooklyn to try to prevent domestic violence and sex crimes and human trafficking, and I'd be happy to talk about it.
Oh, that's important. If you want to schedule that within the next couple of weeks, we could do that. If you're amenable, we'll have you back in a couple of weeks while it's still fresh, and we get you to talk about it.
All right.
We need some time for it. Okay.
We'll reach out.
Thank you. You've been listening to Reaching Out, a very special guest, Bronx, Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez. Thank you for being on Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.